with you. I mean, salvation comes in many forms. And we thank you for that, God, that you provide it. It was a gift, and it is a gift. So, Lord, help us with spiritual eyes and ears, not just to hear and see the way you do, but to process that and then to go and act like you do in the midst of the storms of life. Today, Father, I pray that you're with me as we discuss your holy word, because it brings encouragement to me to look at the lives of those that have gone on before us and take note of how they dealt with things and then your response, Lord. And so I ask that that happen today, that we hear your word, we process your word, and we do something about it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're covering a walk through the Bible. We started with Genesis, and we talked about Adam and Eve, and we went on to Noah, then we went on to Moses, and then we went on to the Ten Commandments, and then we came up to the time of the kings, and in the last 7 or 8 weeks, we've stopped for a while and focused on the life of King David. Why? Because David had a heart after God, and there's so many lessons to learn from his life. Today will be my last message concerning King David. And then we will pick up and we will move on up towards the New Testament. And then from the New Testament, we'll be talking about Jesus. We'll be talking about grace. We'll be talking about revelation. We'll be talking about sanctification. But we're going to move through the Bible. We've moved pretty quickly, and we're already, like I said, up most of the way through the Old Testament. And we're going to give this last message on David's life. And it's probably one of the most important ones. And I think it's one that I think you need to listen to very strongly, because it involves doing something and it involves receiving something. So we're going to take this last look at David's life on our journey and see how best to end our time on earth and pass on the torch to our children. This message is going to cover the last days of David's life, and it's going to be about how important it is for us to end our days on this planet. Not going to the grave and everything going with us, but to pass on the torch, the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ to that next generation. How many times have we read through the Bible where when we read about the kings in Israel and we read about Chronicles and stuff like that, this generation had it and this generation failed, and this generation had it and this generation failed. It was not effectually passed on to the children, and it did not climb and build like things should and get better as the days go on. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died. The church should be stronger today than it was 2,000 years ago, but we see less power. Why? Because we've not passed the torch correctly. Right. We've watered things down and been pulled in by the world, and it has affected the church, and the church has watered things down, and it has affected our whole the busyness of life. We don't pass on correctly to our children, so then things get missed. I believe David's life is going to show us how to effectually pass on the most important thing you can do, and that's a legacy to your children. Number one, David determined, because we're going to look at his life and see how best to do it, David determined to leave both a spiritual legacy as well as the resources to enable his son to succeed in fulfilling God's vision for the people. No matter what your personal vision is, no matter what you think you need to accomplish in this life, God has had a mission from Genesis, and it's going to extend all the way to Revelation. It's a kingdom mentality. It's working for the kingdom, not yourself, not for your own personal aspirations and goals or your own rewards that you could possibly get here, but it's to promote kingdom life on earth as it is in heaven. God wanted to share the life of what? Adam and Eve, together, co-laboring. God visiting Adam, walking in the garden, having him have command over this planet, and would live eternally in paradise. Which is what we'll do in the end because of Jesus Christ coming back to redeem and buy back for us that very calling. But God's whole intent from the beginning was earth and man being made in his image. What does that mean? We're supposed to look like, act like, be like, and live like heaven. See, we're not of this world, right? It's not just, not words, biblical fancy words, and we're talking Christian ease. This planet, because we were put in charge of it, is supposed to look like heaven. God's economy, God's administration should be run by us here. And because we blew it, Jesus gets it back for us, we will now administrate with God over all eternity for whatever will be part of all of eternity, which nobody really knows, but it'll be a kingdom on earth with a new Jerusalem and a godly government headed by Jesus himself, praise God. And guess what? Us saints surrounding him. So why don't we learn how to do that? One way to do that, and one way to get this planet ready for that, and to have a glorious, militant, mighty church waiting for Jesus when he returns, is to pass on this legacy to our children. And David knew that. And so he was not going to leave them empty. He was going to pass on his wisdom and his resources. Well, money doesn't matter. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. We're not talking about loving money, worshiping money, and living for money and having it be for you. But resources and money matters in the kingdom. Because it can be used for good. It can be used to promote kingdom life on earth as in heaven. Money in and of itself is not bad. It's just the root to evil if you worship it. So resources and spiritual wisdom to pass on to our children is okay. Because it will help them to what? Succeed in God's vision for his people. It will never be accomplished by a single generation or a single person. It was never meant to be that way. It's a community of believers. It's a lifelong pursuit till we meet with Jesus for the church to rise up and be victorious and take back what the enemy has stolen, and nobody's an island. We've got to pass these things on from generation to generation. And David shows us this. David dared to dream beyond his years, and he refused to be selfish in regards to all of the blessings he received in life. And he received a lot of them. We too must cast God's vision for his church to our natural and spiritual sons.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. We have got to cast God's vision for his church to our natural and spiritual sons and help provide as many resources as possible. Leave them with the best chance that they have, like a coach would to a football team, pouring everything he has into these guys, but ultimately they got to play the game.
Yeah.
But he can pass on a lot of tools and a lot of resources, and that's our job. 1 Chronicles 22:5-14. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced," although most sons today will think that they are old and experienced beyond their years and have a thing or so to teach us. "Yet the wisdom from David says, my son Solomon's young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent." How about that? That's the way this place should be. Do you know that? That you're part... Teresa and I do not own this church. We don't have any stake in it whatsoever, but we have as much of a share in it as you does. This is God's house, which makes it your house, which makes it part of your family. And when we neglect the house of the Lord, you're neglecting your family duties. We've often told you that, you know, it shouldn't be just your elders and deacons that are doing all the work. It's you, the body, that's supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. And when people pass by on that front road, we should have every hair in place, every blade of grass. It should be signs not broken down. There shouldn't be things happening and gutters overflowing with trees and stuff like that. That's not just your deacon's job. It's all of our job. We all live in the house. We all have a room to pick up. So we're just calling on you guys to say, hey, if you're part and you call this home, you know what? Take care of it because it's God's and it should be more precious to you than your own. I just threw that one in for you there, brother. It was an exhortation, but it was also truth. We are not to neglect the house of the Lord in any way, shape, or form, spiritually and or physically. So David said he's inexperienced. He says, it shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious through all the lands. Therefore, now I will make preparation for it. So David made ample preparations before his death. Now behold, with great pains I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1 million talents of silver, and a bronze and iron beyond weight, for they are in great quantity. Also timber and stone I have prepared, and you may add to them. You see, David wasn't a part of that. What he was a part of was laying the foundation and giving the resources to his son to watch his son build the house of God. That's humble. That is being a true spiritual father.
Yes.
It was David's vision and resources that allowed Solomon to achieve goals of his own.
Yes.
How often do we hear today that, Dad, whether you're a spiritual dad or a physical dad, I just don't know what I want to do. I just don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what job I want to get. No, it's like that. The most important thing that you can fulfill in life is not what job you get or how much money you make or how big a house you can get or all of these other things. Is what is your spiritual destiny?
Yes.
What is your calling? We got to put them on the road to get them in the Word, to get them to hear God's voice so that God, their Father, can tell them where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there and how to get there. And we're to be their guide. We're to be their helper like the Holy Spirit is, to help push them down that road to hear from God so that they can fulfill the vision that God has for their life. I'm just here to tell you that it was David's vision and his resources that helped Solomon do what he did. He amply prepared. How would you like to take over a ministry with all those things in your corner? Right? There's one thing to remember, though. And make note of this. We can sow our wisdom and our experience into our natural and spiritual children because most of us have already made the mistakes that generally can be made, and we want to spare our children the same lessons.
Amen to that.
Thought I'd get an amen on that one. Listen to me, folks. Failure, adultery, murder, multiple wives, lust. Does that ring a bell for someone that you know in the Scripture? Failure did not dissolve or absolve David of his responsibility to share the wisdom and good he had cultivated in his heart for God and his purposes through the years.
Thank you, Jesus. Read that again, honey.
Failure, we all blow it. I don't care what category of sin you're in, there is none with God. Little, big, small, wide, whatever. Sin is sin is sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Praise God for Jesus and restoration. Failure, and in David's case, he shows us that adultery and murder and multiple wives and lust, all of that did not dissolve nor absolve David of his responsibility to share the good and the wisdom that he had cultivated in his heart for God and his purposes through the years. Remember last week? After all David had done and how bad he was and stuff like that, what was God's synopsis of David's life? A man after my own heart. And the only mistake he made was when he killed Uriah and did that whole thing with the adultery. It was almost like God was going, no matter how bad it was, the way I view David is he had a heart after me and he did what was right in my sight. He said that. It's in the Bible. He did what was right in my sight, even with all this junk. Folks, it's our duty to pass on the wisdom and the good and remembering the things that we have done under the Lord and pass that on. No, we don't want to pass the junk, right? We learn from that, though. We use that to say, don't go down that road. But David had cultivated a lot of good in his life, and it was his responsibility because God works all things together for good, even our failures. Even our failures. So, the first one, David determined to leave this legacy and resources for his son. Number two, David discipled his successor, his son, to carry on God's work. 1 Chronicles 22, 6-13. He didn't leave him just there. Okay, you know what? You're taking over the ministry. Go to the first school of the Old Testament, learn what you need to do, and you can take over the pulpit. No, he called for his son Solomon, charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel because he knew that that was God's purpose and plan for Israel. And he was the next man in line, and it hadn't been done in David's lifetime. So he said, I'm going to give you everything I've got, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the resources. Carry it on, son. David said to Solomon, my son, I intended to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. Didn't quite work out. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars and shall not build a house to my name because you've shed so much blood on the earth before me. How about consequence to sin? A man after God's own heart, one of the giants in the Bible that we can look up to and stuff like that. But yet we all know that when we make mistakes, there are consequences to sin. And you know what? We just got to suck it up and go through it because God still looks at us as white as snow. We're still going to inherit responsibilities. We still have good to give people and stuff like that. We got to shake it off and we got to move on. God looks at us through the eyes of Christ, not through guys that are glaring at you trying to judge you. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, or if it's just a word on a page. Behold, a son will be born to you, and you shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give you peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord, he's talking to his son Solomon, the Lord be with you, that you may be successful, and build the house of the Lord your God, just as he has spoken concerning you. Only the Lord give you discretion and understanding, and give you charge over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Bottom line is, follow his word. Then, if you follow God's word, you will prosper. If you are careful to observe the statutes and ordinances which the Lord has commanded Moses concerning Israel, be strong, be courageous, do not fear, my son, nor be dismayed. That's a spiritual daddy. Go for it, son. I'm giving you resources, I'm giving you wisdom and discretion. Follow God's word, you can't fail. Don't look at the storms of life, look at spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and you will get her done, son. Go for it, son. I'm right there behind you. And when I go down to the dust, you carry it on and pass it on to your kids. That's the way we need to be. And we need to do it with just as much enthusiasm. Because if you go up to your son and say, hey, you want to kind of take over this whole thing here, man? People come up to you and complain every day. There's a whole lot of work involved. You can't get anybody to come out to anything to help. And gosh, you're on the phone all the time. You got to prepare messages. You got to do retreat things and stuff like that. Oh, gosh, it's just your time's not your own. You'd be out at night. You could be in emergencies and stuff like that. Hey, but it's a great calling and it's something for you to do. Why don't you come to the pulpit? Son, you have the greatest responsibility that anybody could ever have in life. You have charge over God's people. He has trusted you to much is given, much is required. I'm giving you every resource I have, all the wisdom I can give you. It is a great opportunity. You get to meet so many different people. You get to be involved with their lives. You cry with them. You share with them. You laugh with them. It could never be a burden. I could never get burnt out with ministry because it's part of who I am. It's part of God. I am a sacrifice unto Him. This is a great thing. Come on up here. You'll never regret it. It'll be the best thing you ever do with your life. How do you present things to your children?
Oh, that's good.
Are you discipling them? David was concerned for his son's wisdom and obedience above all else. Not how many cars he had, how many jobs he could get, or you know, business, all that stuff. He was concerned with his wisdom and his obedience and wanted to make sure he had it. And let me tell you something, Solomon had it in spades. He must have learned something because when God asked him what he wanted, what did Solomon ask for? And boy, did he get it. Number three. Number one, David determined to leave a spiritual legacy and the resources. Number two, he discipled his sons spiritually and natural. Number three, David directed leaders to assist his son. David directed leaders to assist his son. 1 Chronicles 22:17-19. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. We're not islands, folks. I don't have everything to give to my sons. They need your spiritual wisdom, so get on board, will you? Mature, get off the milk, help my son grow, and we'll help your sons grow and daughters. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. We don't have it all. God gave the diversity of gifts. He didn't give them all to me or all to you. He spread it out through the congregation. We're supposed to be body ministry. We need you. You're a brick on the wall. And if you don't do your part, we lack. That's why there's a degree of accountability and commitment in here. Because what you do matters. And when what you do affects me. And yeah, there's times I go down the ship with you. So what? I enjoy the high times, the mountain times, the low times. It's for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for stupid or not stupid. We got to look at eternity, and in the overall scheme of things, we do more good. How many times have I told you, you do 100 things right, but you do one thing wrong, and everybody glares at you for the remainder of your days? Why can't we look at the 100 things that are right? Why can't we not look at ISIS and all that other stuff around there and look at it as an opportunity to see people that are scared to come bring them the gospel? It's a mentality. It's how you look at life. You can either hang your head and just woe is me for these last mistakes, or you know what? I'm getting ready to go on and move on and pass things on to my kids and tell them all the bad things not to do. David directed his leaders to assist his son. David also commanded all the leaders to help his son. Next, 18. Is not the Lord your God with you? And is he not giving you rest on every side? For he's given you the inhabitants of the land into my hand. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and set your soul to seek the Lord. Best advice you could give. your God, arise, therefore, and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. So he had not just himself to give wise counsel, but he directed leaders to assist his son. He knew no man was an island, and Solomon couldn't do it alone. Folks, there's safety and wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Body ministry. Listen to this now. Body ministry and the diversity of gifts make the load light, but the anointing becomes heavy. Yeah, that's another original one. I got that one. I'm talking it up. So if anybody's taking any notes or anything like that, last week I think I had a good one that was mine. But I'm going to say that again because I just want to. Body ministry and the diversity of gifts make the load light, but the anointing becomes heavy. Number four, David passed on the organizational skills that he had acquired from God that would be necessary to accomplish everything. David passed on the organizational skills to his son so that he could accomplish everything. And I'm going to ask you a question, all of you. When you inherit a leadership position at church or even at your workplace, is it not a blessing to find everything organized and well-planned for both your immediate and future success? When somebody hands you the baton and says, here's the pulpit, or here's children's ministry, or here's the youth ministry, or here's the worship team, or here's this and stuff like that, is it not a blessing to come and find, it's just pass the baton and you're right in stride and you're leading the race? Instead of trying to find where your teammates are, and if everything's even put together and in a shamble, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Do things with excellence.
Yes.
God's called his children to do that. Number five, David was involved with and designed the architectural plan for God's house, though he didn't build it. Well, that's a disappointment. Well, is it? While God may not have you be a part of the actual fruit of a particular ministry, he may use you to be part of the foundation work or design.
Yes.
Boy, that's tough. You throw all your heart and soul into a ministry, maybe even all your life, and you don't get to see the fruit of it, but your next generation does. We were in Cottesport, Pennsylvania. We had led the youth for 3 or 4 years. We were green behind the ears. They saw some potential in us. We got into it. And you know, I think the only reason we were successful is because we didn't know what we were doing. We were in relationship with them. We didn't have to teach much because we didn't have much to teach. But boy, were we in relationship with them. And we loved God. And we taught them to love God. And it was wonderful. And God called us out. And do you know that after all those years we sowed into those kids and we left and stuff like that, as soon as we left, revival broke out. Never got to experience a part of it. All the parents got on their knees and repented. The church went through complete revival because the kids broke out and they led the field. We were so proud of them, but yet we're like, come on. Sends us to another church where we thought we were supposed to be youth leaders and they told us we stunk. We did. We had one person and we had a hard time keeping that person. They only came because they had to. Because God was moving us to another ministry. Then they kept saying, take over children, take over children. I don't like children. I don't want children. But we did, and I agreed. My wife said, well, you just humor them and do it. And then it just went, and it just blossomed. It just goes to show you, it's not you, it's God. And if you will listen and do what he tells you to do, you will prosper. 1 Chronicles 28, 10 to 12. You may be the foundation and not actually build it. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the house for the sanctuary, so be courageous and act. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch. He wasn't going to be able to build it. It's buildings, it's storehouses, it's upper rooms, it's inner rooms, the room for the mercy seat. And the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of God and for the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of God and for the storehouses of the dedicated things. I'd say he prepared his son well, wouldn't you? What are you doing to prepare your children for the times ahead? Sometimes, folks, you're simply called to sow into others while others come along and reap what you sow. And I will tell you, as I always have, that with God, the process is just as important as the outcome. Be encouraged. The process is as important as the outcome. Finally, number six, the greatest gift we can pass on to our children, both natural and spiritual, is teaching them how to capture or figure out their destiny. That's what this talk is all about. I'm going to say it again. The greatest gift you can pass on to your children, both natural children and spiritual ones, is teaching them how to figure out or capture their purpose or their destiny. Pastor Don has been that for me throughout life. He has. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a father or a mentor in your life? Because if you don't have one, you're missing out on the greatest blessing that you'll ever have. 2 Samuel 5, 6 to 10. Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will turn you away, thinking David cannot enter here." Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold. Nevertheless, 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 they were mocking him. "The blind and the lame will kick your tail." Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. David said on that day, "Whoever will strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, the blind or the lame shall not come into the house." So David lived in the stronghold, and he called it the city of David, and David built all around from the millow and inward. David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. Here's the point. Despite the resistance of the enemy, Scripture says, nevertheless, David captured the stronghold.
Yes.
This is an important spiritual truth in your life when we come out of the story of David here and apply it to your life. Despite the odds, despite the mocking, despite the resistance, despite the fact that you think you can't perform anything and you just don't have the talent or ability, nevertheless, it was God's purpose for David, he captured the stronghold. David entered into his destiny or his calling. And we're going to look and finally today answer that through the steps that he took to pass some of this wisdom on to our children. Number one, this is what David did to get to that last step. Number one, put your body where your calling is. Put your physical body where your calling is. David went to Jerusalem. Do not be distracted from your purpose. There are many places you could be, but you got to decide where it is God wants you, not where you want to go. I got to use Pastor Don as an example again. He was in my office in Spartanburg one day. There was a call of God on my life, but I was making good money as a physical therapist. I knew the call of God was on my life. I knew the dreams that I had. I saw myself preaching. I knew that I had to be a pastor if I was going to be obedient to God, but I was just too drawn to the fact that I was the director of rehab at Spartanburg Regional, making good money. But that had shut down. God shut it down because he wanted me to move in. But instead, I entertained something in Texas. So I come to my spiritual father, Pastor Don, and I say, "Hey, I've got an offer to get into a private practice in Texas, which is far greater than what I've had here in Spartanburg. God's probably just trying to bless me with that." "Well, what did he tell you to do, son?" "And the last thing he told you." "Well, I kind of had a dream, and I was going into the ministry and stuff like that." "Well, put your body where your calling is. Either go to Texas or stay here. You can't birth two babies." That's a spiritual father. Tell me like it is. "Yeah, go ahead, go make money and go to Texas and ignore God. See what that does for you." Put your body where your calling is. Some of you know what you need to be doing and where what ministry you need to be in and stuff. You need to hang around those people. "Don't, put me in that position, Pastor Scott." You wait until the anointing's there and we call you there. But until then, hang around and show us you're interested. That's and it's not, you're not in it just for the glory. Can you sweep floors for a while doing the very thing that you don't want to do in order to get into what you do want to do, to show your humility and your sacrifice so that we can see you have the character qualities to handle the ministry that you'll be put in charge of? Put your body where your calling is, even if you don't think that's where you want to be. We did not want to be with children, but I was obedient. And then who figures? Goes through the roof. Matthew 8, 18 to 22, good principle. "Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Then a scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Here I am, I'm ready, Pastor, I'll go into whatever ministry, whatever you want me to do.' Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Where I'm going is going to be a little rough, brother.' Another of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, permit me first to go bury my father. I got some other things I got to do first. Got to make a little money before I can get into ministry or I'll never be able to do ministry. Like, whose resources are they anyway? I said that to Pastor Don. He said, go plant one in Landrum. Plant a church in Landrum. With what? I don't have any money. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Thanks, Pastor Don. That really helps. That's going to help me get down the street and stuff like that. Go purchase some land. Look, with what? And look at you guys. You're here. And literally, we didn't have a dime. By faith, spiritual father speaking into your life. You can do it, son. You can do it. You go plant a church there. You've got the anointing. God's called you. Don't worry about it. It'll just happen. Yep, sure it will. I'm a physical therapist. I'm not a full-fledged pastor yet. I don't have that kind of faith. I had to ride the coattails of his faith. And here I am. And I thank God for that. For spiritual fathers and for the call. And for listening. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. What you don't understand about that scripture, but if you do some studying, his father wasn't dead yet, or his family wasn't dead yet. He wanted to hang around for the season until the family did pass on, and then he would follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I'm sorry. We're not waiting on funerals. We're not waiting on anybody. This is where the destiny is that I'm going and where I want you to come with me. You either come follow me or you go do your worldly thing. Some of you need to put some things down and take some things up. But you're waiting because you're scared because you don't have the final resources or you don't think you have the wisdom to do it. But if God has called you, he equips who he calls. Amen. No but first, people. Oh, but first. No but firsts. Yeah, no but firsts. Man, never mind. Follow Jesus. That's what that said. No but first, follow me. Follow Jesus. And listen, when David got to his destiny, the place of ministry, he found it occupied by the enemy. I'm going to be king. Whoa, he's coming after me with swords. I got to go hide. But God, you told me I was supposed to be king. And he found every cave. And he ran with the rabble. God, you called me into ministry. You called me to the king. But the enemy was there. Coming after him to kill him. So here it is. You may find that the enemy is in your place being occupied by the ministry. Lord, you want me to take over this mess? You're kidding, right? There's no organization to it. Nobody even comes. A youth group only has one person. I don't want to take charge of that thing. Folks, demon spirits, traditions of men, your old nature and a few other strongholds can often occupy the place that you're supposed to be and the gift that you're supposed to fulfill. And you better just get over yourself, kick some of them things out, and move in.
Right.
If you're supposed to be there, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you out of it. Hear that word. Step in, kick them out. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, just to remind you. We're getting near the end here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, not yours. You'll never be equipped that way. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. See, God knew when you go after your calling and you go after your ministry, the devil's going to come out with an all-out assault on you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you influencing other people and being an effective witness for him, for God. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and against the powers and against the wicked forces, the world forces of this darkness. There's a spiritual realm surrounding you that you don't see with your natural eyes that's at work to take you down. And you better open your eyes up. It's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places that are being allowed right now to function down here in the invisible realm. But we have an invisible enemy, yes, but we also have an invisible God who is greater. He's choosing to be invisible. He won't always be visible. Every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And you got to live by faith until that day he puts his feet on that Mount of Olives. And until then, do your ministry. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. You won't do it yourself. You better read what that armor is. You got to get saved and have his righteousness. You got to walk by truth. You got to walk in peace and not that fear that we just told you about. Right? You got to have the shield of faith. And you got to be in the Word. And then when you got his full armor on, you can stand where the devil is taking ground away and say, I'm taking it back. But if you go over there with no sword, and you go over there with no shield, no shoes on your feet, you're probably going to be turned upside down, beat inside out like the seven sons of Sceva. Anything, meanwhile, worthwhile in the kingdom will often have to be taken out of the enemy's hands. Because that's where he is. He wants all those things that are worthwhile, and he's going to try to take possession of it because he's been given the opportunity to roam around here. And the only ones that can change that is, yeah, God can come down out of heaven, which he will do in the end times. But in the meantime, he's expecting the church to do what he has already done. Amen. Have you been struggling to find your place in church or ministry? Or even just to get here? Anybody ever had a problem just trying to get to church on time? I know that's right, based on the fruit of your ministries. Come on, let's be honest. You're all, kids acting up, yelling and screaming at each other, having a bad attitude, really tired, had a rough work week. The devil knows how to get to you. Sometimes it's just struggle to get here. No wonder. The enemy does not want you to succeed. So here's my questions as we close this thing down. Does the enemy speak to you through people? Like this. You're not spiritual enough to take on that ministry or calling. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough experience. You don't have an education. You're just an average Joe. No offense to you Joes out there. You've made too many serious mistakes. Folks, the Jebusites mocked David. You heard it. They said, well, you know, we'll just keep you out of your destiny. The blind and the lame will keep you out, buddy. So don't even take us on. It's just like a bully going up to you and saying, I'm going to kick your tail. Even my son can kick your tail. Right. Intimidation is what the enemy uses, right? Think about it. They tried to keep him out of his destiny. They tried to intimidate him by saying the blind and lame are better than you. Folks, the devil roars like a lion, but the Lion of Judah is the real deal and he lives in you. Roar back. Roar back. Brings us to number two. In other words, David took, it said he took the stronghold of Zion. Remember number one, put your body where your calling is. Number two, David then when he got there, took the stronghold of Zion. In other words, don't reason with the enemy.
That's right.
Take what's yours. Don't stand there and go toe-to-toe and argue with him. Jesus knew his purpose. He knew why God sent him. He didn't sit there. He didn't reason with Satan. He quoted God's word. He simply quoted the word. You have a birthright as a child of God. You have an inheritance yourself to pass on. You have authority. Jesus gives you a legal right to come against the enemy. If you didn't know these things, I'm telling you. The Hebrew word for inheritance, the two words, nakal and yirash. Nakal is equivalent to exousia, or authority. And yirash means to occupy by driving out previous tenants. To occupy by driving out previous tenants. To seize and take possession of. Seize the kingdom of God. Jesus has done it all. He's equipped you. He's given you everything you need. Your sons and daughters, you have a right to your inheritance. Now go in and take back what the enemy has stolen with boldness, with courageousness, and with authority. But don't limp in. Don't whip in. Don't have not your guard on. Do not put, you know, take your armor off. Because let me tell you, a child of God going into a situation like that, what's not prepared and has not spiritual fathers and wisdom in their life, is a sitting duck. He's given us express purposes of how to go in and take back what the enemy has stolen. And you can't do it in your own strength. Nakal means to seize and take possession of, to go in there and take back what he's stolen. Be strong and courageous. You're a king's kid. Joshua 1:9. Same exhortation goes to you. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The God was just with Joshua then. Guess what, folks? He's in you. He's not just with you.
Right.
He lives in you. Wherever you go. Remember Ruth said to Naomi? Wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. Wherever you go, I'll go. Why? She wanted to be around the woman of God who was speaking into her life that was bringing her into a relationship with God. Wherever you go, I'm going. What about Joshua? Moses, if you're going there, I'm following you. Moses, if you're going in the tent, I want in. Can't come in. All right, I'll stand there by the door then. How eager are you for the things of God? Are you like that? Are you as enthusiastic like that? And then as you're growing and you do get all that, are you willing to share it with your sons and daughters? This is what the life of Christ and church life should be like. Not, oh God, we're just my shoulder today and my head yesterday, and the Jebusites are in the land, and the Arabs are attacking here, and ISIS is over here, and oh, we can do that. It's real. But there's one thing that's more real, and that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Number three, Scripture says David dwelt in the stronghold. What does it mean? I'm just going to say this. It's called stick-to-itiveness. Yeah. Spell that one. Thank God it's on tape. Stick-to-itiveness. You got to be patient, folks. Stick it out during the tough times. It's not going to be easy. Jesus never told him it would be easy. He said, my burden is light. But he never said that it would be easy just to go tramping around and taking back what the enemy has stolen. You've got all that armor on for a reason. Live where your calling is. Claim it daily in prayer. And remember, David had to visit a few caves before he reached the promised land, but he got there. Number four, it says David built all around himself. You got to build a ministry, folks. The word built in Hebrew is the word banan, B-A-N-A-N. It means to repair or to strengthen. Folks, restructure your priorities around your spiritual destiny. That's the best way I can put it for you. You need to restructure everything else in your life about what God has called you to. I don't care if you inherit the whole world and you've got a PhD in whatever PhD you got it in, and you got a big house and lots of cars and all that kind of stuff. If it's occupying your time, if it's a phone, if it's a video game, if it's this, if it's that, you better restructure your priorities around your spiritual destiny. That's how you build a ministry. That's how you build a life. That's how you find your destiny. It takes work, though. Remember last week, DWI? Deny worldly influences. Deny worldly influences and allow the Holy Spirit to intoxicate you directly in ministry. Yes. And lastly, number five, close it out. Scripture says David became greater and greater because God was with him. Don't take that one lightly, because God was with him. Because God was with him. I'm going to restate that today in the New Testament. Scripture says you have become greater and greater because God is in you and he works through you. Folks, the bottom line is that if we make it our priority to bring God into our life, God will make it his priority to bring us into his. So have you been lingering in the background of your calling? Think about it. Have you been lingering in the background of your calling? If you want a fresh start, Bert, I'm going to ask you to come on up. Teresa, you come on up. And you don't have to. You don't have to, but here's the question for you. If you've been lingering about your call, if you want a fresh start, I want you to come up for prayer and maybe take the first step. Or, listen, not just prayer, but take the first step and seek after a spiritual father or fathers in your life. And fathers, say yes, not I'm too busy. If you need a mama or a papa, or if you know that you should be heading into a ministry or want to enter into your calling, if you just feel like today's the day that you want to make a commitment towards that, then I'm going to ask these guys to pray with you. Because let me tell you something, there's no greater legacy that you can leave if you're a father and a mother in here for your children than a spiritual destiny. And helping them find that. And for you that are looking for one, there's no greater resource in life, in your life, naturally or spiritually, than a mom or a dad. Amen? Pam?